Hi, and welcome to the Horizon Church podcast. Horizon Church is a Christ-centered, word-based, spirit-led church based in Sydney, Sutherland Shire. We are so happy to bring this week's message to you. And on behalf of our pastors, Brad and Ali Bonholm, and the Horizon Church team, we pray it's a blessing to you.
I don't know if you've noticed, but right now, there are many parts of our world that feel like they're totally out of control. You know, we got people that are strapping themselves to poles and tractors and cars in the middle of our cities. We got Brexit on the other side of the world going nuts. We got a president or a few of them that are fighting with each other. And even as a young person right now, even if you don't know the politics, you can have a sense of, man, the world is out of control. And if we're not careful, even as Christians, we can participate in the fear, the stress, the worry of what on earth is going on. But we need to remember that we weren't purposed to be in control. We were purposed to love a God who's in control, whatever it looks like. And we need to remember that He's got it under control. Have you ever been out of control? My son came to me. I can see there's quite a few teenagers here tonight. And in Melbourne, you can learn to drive from the age of 16. But you can't get your license till you're 18, and you have to do 120 hours once you've got your L plates, which is just a written test. And then you actually have to find a parent who's willing to strap themselves into the car next to you. And you tell your parent you know how to drive because you watched a video on YouTube. They've been used to having the steering wheel, they've been used to having the controls on the floor, the brake, and now they have to go on a suicide mission and jump in the side of the car and believe that you're going to take them to your destiny. My son decided that he wanted to do it. He got his license on his birthday. And we went out for a drive. I was ordained as the parent to take him on his first drive. And we decided to get in the car. And I don't know what came over me, but we lived out in the near a national forest in Melbourne. And I thought, I'll go to a distant location. So we went sort of out the back of our house where I thought there'd be no cars. But what I'd forgotten is the road that we were on had a huge gutter. It didn't have drains, but a huge gutter. So if you went off the side, you'd just probably roll the car. And then going down this way, it was peak hour traffic. So the cars were just lined up on the other side. So there was nowhere to go there. And we were on a road that sounds like something out of a horror movie called Jumping Creek Road. And it was like a winding road. And I'm driving for less than 5 minutes with my son, and something comes into the middle of the road. We live in Australia, and who has ever seen a kangaroo on the road? I had never seen a kangaroo on the road. In the first 5 minutes of my son who learned to drive on YouTube, I see a kangaroo, and I'm not holding the steering wheel. My son looks to me, and at that moment, wasn't on YouTube, Dad, what do I do? He didn't say that, but I said, slow down. He looks at me and he slows down, and I think the kangaroo surely will just jump off the road, get distracted, go back to where it came from. But no, this kangaroo turned towards us and started jumping up the road towards us. I said to my son, son, slow down some more. He said, yes, Dad, yes, Dad. And he slowed down some more. He came to a stop, and the minute he stopped, the kangaroo jumped up on the bonnet of the car and slammed into the windscreen. It slid off the bonnet. I was thinking, hoping it was dead. I know that's not good for the animal activists here, but it was just like, what do we do now? It slid off, it jumped up, and then it started just doing collateral damage into every side panel of the car. I don't know why. I got out the car. The man behind me had stopped. He didn't see the kangaroo. He was like, what are you stopping in the middle of the road for? And he was beeping his horn at me. I got out with the fivefold ministry gifts ready. And then he realized that what had happened, and he sort of calmed down and I calmed down. And then my son gets out the car. I look around the car. I look at my son, less than 10 minutes of driving. And as all fathers would do, I said, proud of you, son. What a great accident in your first 10 minutes. But in that season of driving my son, I realized that his capacity to drive and focus wasn't the greatest. If I said to him, son, follow the line in the middle of the road, Stay this side of it. For some reason, he'd look at that line and he'd drive towards the line, and we'd find ourselves in the middle of the road with cars coming the other way. I learned in that season, where you focus is where you go. And you need to understand that God has a plan for your life, but if you focus on the distract and you focus on the wrong thing, you can end up where you don't want to be. You see, it says here in Psalm 34 and verse 3, my topic today is up on the screen, I will magnify the Lord. Psalm 33 and verse 3 says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Pastor Ali read a scripture this morning, and part of it's contained here. It wasn't this scripture, but I sought the Lord and he heard me. The great thing about living for our God is when we seek him, when we ask him, when we go before him, he does hear us and he wants to answer our prayers. He wants to come through in our circumstances. And he delivered me. What did he deliver me from? My fears and my ways. Many of us are consumed with our fears. Many of us are consumed with what's happening in the world. Many of us are caught up with what we can't control. But what we can is, I will magnify the Lord. I will lift his name up. I will focus on him because I know that he is in control. Now, Mondays is my day off, and I love going to the movies. I love going to the movies. I don't know what it is, Christian escapism or something that's legal. And I just go and I sit in that chair. It can be in an expensive theater. It can be in the cheapest tickets I can. Doesn't matter. I just go in. It goes dark. I turn my phone off. I love even watching the ads. I just love it. The whole, yes, woman of God, I'm telling you, it's getting stronger as this meeting goes on. But anyway. On this occasion, my son and my daughter wanted to come with us, and so they picked the movie. And on this occasion, my son did very well. He said, Dad, Aquaman's just come out. Let's go and see that. And I was like, yes, let's go and see it. I was pumped to see it, and he found it was on at the IMAX theater. And we hadn't been to the IMAX theater for years, and when we arrived, it was in 3D. Now, the IMAX theater says as you walk in the door, I don't know if it's true, but it says it, so I've got to believe it. It says, the largest screen in the world. So I'm like even extra amped. The largest screen in the world, 3D glasses. I'm at the movies. I've got my whole family with me. I go to the food shop and I buy all the healthy food like Coke and popcorn and chocolate because you've got to have all of that for the movies as well. And then I sit in my seats that are perfectly in the center of the screen, halfway back, and I can't even see the sides and I'm ready. The ads come on. I'm watching the ads and I just love it. I love it when Coca-Cola makes a new beach ad or something or somebody else. I just love it. It's like, yeah. And then I'm watching. Yeah, you're starting to get into my head a little. That's why I only get two sessions when I come to your church because get beyond that. Wow, gets scary. And I go into the cinema and I'm sitting, watching, and then the first trailer comes on. I'm excited about that. No idea what it was, but I was excited about it. It comes on the screen, and you're not going to believe it. As I'm about to watch the trailer, a fly comes on the screen. You might be thinking, how could you even see the fly on that screen? Because it wasn't on the screen. It was in the projection room. It was like a fly like this flying around on the screen. I'm so distracted. I'm like, that stupid fly. Look at that fly. There's a whole screen there and all I can see is the fly. I turn to my son and, you know, he's a teenage boy. I'm his father. Go and tell them there's a fly on the screen. I paid for the tickets and he just looks at me, does nothing. And anyway, the people in the cinema are starting to get unrested and you can feel everybody's like, the fly. We get to about the third, trailer, and then suddenly, you're not going to believe it, another fly comes on the screen. I mean, what's happened up there in the projection room? Has someone died? Or, come on, there's flies. 15 minutes of Aquaman. I still to this day do not know what happened. Somebody got up there, sorted out the problem. I was angry for about another 15 minutes after that. But isn't it funny that we think that's funny, but if you think about the feature movie and we put it in the context of our lives, that the main feature is actually playing and we're caught up on the smallest of distraction. We miss what we were purposed for there to be. We miss why we were in that place. We miss what it is that God has for us because we're concerned about what we can't control. I will magnify the Lord. I understand that He's in control. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24 says, run the race in such a way as to qualify for the prize. I'm loving these lights. Qualify. It's just like, whew, it's like a spray. I don't know if you can see it, but wow. I lose contact with you all because there's so much spittle coming out of my mouth. I won't get close. Don't worry. There's something about these beautiful lights that's making it even better. See, I'm distracted in my own message right now. But distraction leads to disqualification. That's what it said in my notes. That wasn't for a joke, okay? But the enemy is actually referred to, one of his names is the Lord of the Flies. He's the master distractor. And I believe that the enemy's plan is to kill, steal, and destroy, because that's what the scripture says. But in the church, all he needs to do is get us distracted. Came into church tonight, and why is that guy sitting in my seat? I sit there every Sunday night. I know we change the service time, but that doesn't give him the right to sit in my seat. No, that doesn't happen here. That happens at other churches. But the truth is we get so consumed with the smallest of things and we miss what God has for us. What about when we go to small group and there's that person at small group that is just annoying? Oh, so many laughs. There's obviously everywhere. Thank God. I feel better about that. The person that asks all the questions, talks all the time, then you get angry at the leader because the leader won't shut them up and it's like a compounding effect and you just can't handle it. Distraction. We get so put off by the smallest of thing, but distraction will bring about disqualification. If you magnify the problem, then you need to understand that you increase the problem. But if you magnify the Lord, He comes into every situation. In November last year, I had a rash. Wow. Obviously a teenage and young adult crowd here tonight. Give me a moment. On my arm. And it was seemingly getting worse, spreading further, and I didn't know what to do, and I put some creams on and it didn't seem to work, so my wife said, you've got to go to the doctor, you've got to go to the doctor. So who knows that when you're too busy to go to the doctor, it's easier just to search on the internet. Google is a good doctor. So I typed in the two symptoms that I had. That day I had a headache and I had a rash. I typed in headache and rash. I don't advise you do this. By the time I'd finished reading, I thought I had the Ebola virus. But the truth is that we magnify the problem and we increase the problem. We talk about people. We get caught up on what we can't change rather than focusing on what God has put us on the planet and doing what He's purposed to do in and through our lives. Magnify the Lord. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, one of my favorite passages of scripture says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. He's got a plan for you. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, to prosper you and not to harm you. What are we going to focus on? What are we going to put our energy into? Because what we focus on is what we get. The plan, not the problem. Don't get so consumed with the problem that we forget that God gave you a plan. Habakkuk 2:2 says, you know, write it down, make it clear. He gave you a plan. He gave you a purpose. You and you, each and every one of us, God has given us a plan. But we spend our whole lives on the problem. I had a problem with Fiji 10 weeks before we were going to go. See, when we went to Papua New Guinea, we actually used the passage of scripture from 1 Kings. And basically it said, I hear the sound of heavy rain. Go and tell the king that rain is coming. And so that was the mandate we went with. I hear the sound of heavy rain. And so there was a sense of, we're going to go and see that dry and parched land come to God. But when I went to Fiji, I said, God, is that the scripture you want to use again? And He spoke to me and He said, yes, it is, but I don't want you to focus on the dry and weary land. I want you to speak on, I hear the sound. So he said to me, rather than trying to do it the way we did it last time, I want you to get a song that'll be played in the nation. So we wrote a song specifically, and it's basically a song, Believe, for Fiji. And so this song we actually started to put out 6 weeks before any of us arrived. It went on all the radio stations. It went on the TV stations. It started to get chart topping where they were playing it everywhere. And before we arrived, there's this catchy song that Joe, one of our Fijian worship leaders, one of our campus pastors, and Joth wrote together in collaboration. And it was sort of a cool radio song in the style for Fiji. It went out, but 10 weeks before, the production team went across to get all the equipment ready. Some of the team that were there, you saw it on the video. It was cool because Reinhard Bonnke, when I was a kid, I used to watch pictures on a screen of crowds, but they used to build huge scaffolding that in developing world takes weeks to build. And I said, we've got to be able to do it some way better. So they came up, I don't know if you saw it, but mobile cranes. And those mobile cranes just lift the speakers up a day before we're ready. And it also looks cool, cooler than scaffolding. And so it's like the modern day crusade sort of look. But the problem was that 10 weeks earlier, the production team said, there is not a sound system big enough in Fiji for us to hire. I said, what are we going to do? They said, well, we've looked into Australia and New Zealand, but to hire a system for that size crowd is going to cost us $500,000 because we actually need to ship it across and ship it back, and all the days added up, they charge daily for these things, would be around $500,000. 10 weeks out, the word of the Lord, the plan is I hear a sound. The very thing that's actually in my face is we don't have sound. How many of you have been in a situation where you're trying to do something, but you can't see the breakthrough in your own life? And God has a plan. We got to look at the plan, not the problem. We got to remember that He's executing a plan for your life, for your purpose. So I say to them, well, what are we going to do? Let's buy a system. I said, it can't cost much more than that. Little did I know. They price a system. The best price we get is out of Singapore, $1 million. I've got 10 weeks to go. So I get them all in my office. We're sitting in my office and I say, what can we do? And one of the guys goes, do you know that China has been making incredible copy systems? And I'm like, is that even legal? And they go, no, not like that. Like for 8 or 10 years. But the problem is they've copied things so well, but it's not branded, so a lot of people don't want the gear because it's not branded. I said, I don't care about brand, but it's got to be quality. So I said, here's what I'm going to do. By faith, I'm going to send two of you across to China, go to 3 different factories and see if you can find a system that's good enough. They ring me from China. They go, Pastor Neil, we found 2 systems, but one is so good. I said, how much is it going to cost? They say, $300,000. I say, let's buy it. Now, that sounds crazy because I've got no money. I've already raised $2 million to put on the event. Now we're 10 weeks out and I'm putting another $300,000. Woohoo! Am I a crazy man? Yes. So I suddenly say yes to them. I get off the phone and then I think, wow, I better talk to the board because really it's not my risk. So I ring every board member. I'm one of the board members and I ring them all. I say, and they basically say, yeah, look, Pastor Neil, you know, you've got an incredible knack to believe God. So we're going to trust you, but it's your liability. So they sort of said yes, but really it was like, yes, you're in for it. So I tell my assistant to order the system that afternoon. That night I'm sitting at home and I get a phone call from a friend of mine that I haven't spoken to for about a year. And he says, Neil, can we catch up tomorrow? I said, man, I can't. I've got these meetings tomorrow. I think Brad might have been there actually in Power 21. And we were sitting at this meeting and I said, I can't. And then I had this thought, this guy's from Indonesia and he's got influence in the church and that was what the meeting was about. So I text Pastor Russell. I said, would it be okay if he came? He knows the guy. He said, yeah, bring him along. So he comes to the meeting and he's sitting there. We're having this meeting in this lounge room and I turn to him while they're all talking. I say, you wanted to talk to me? He said, yeah. He said, you know how you're doing that Fiji thing? He said, I've got a business in Indonesia and my son really runs it. But when we heard about it, I felt like we should give 3% of the total net revenue of the business to the ministry. And I'm like, well, okay, but that could have been $1.50. I don't know what his capacity was in business. But because who knows that when you've got a problem and you're focusing on God, you're looking for everything. Your eyes are open. So I wouldn't normally do this, but we're sitting on the couch. They're having a proper meeting. They're all talking. And I turn to him and go, how much? He looks at me and he says, and he told me a figure in Indonesian rupiah, which basically you could say it's like $1 billion, but that could be $2.50 in Australia. I don't know. He said this huge figure. I'm like, well, how much is that? So I text the figure to my assistant. She texts back. I say, how much is it in Australian dollars? She says, $299,950. I'm telling you, within 24 hours, God had come into the equation, and before I even paid a deposit in full, that system, and now we've got two huge shipping containers, because the amount of speakers we have is huge, sitting in Fiji right now waiting for the next crusade, and for the next 5 years, we can use that anywhere, anytime. But you see, I had a problem, and so many of us get consumed with our problem that we miss the possibility. We don't step into the plan that God has for you. God has spoken a plan over your life, a purpose over your life. Are you living according to the purpose, or are you consumed with the problem? The plan or the problem? Our sight so often steals our vision. We live with what we see every day, not remembering that God has actually spoken something greater over our lives. There's more, church. There's more for you. There's a greater day coming. There's a vision that's way beyond what you're seeing today. And we can either live according to our circumstance. We can live according to what feels like it's out of control. We can focus on the problem, get distracted from what God has, or we can step in to the very vision that He has for our lives. I will is a deliberate act. I will, not I want to, I'd like to. See, it's quite easy for you people that come to the 6 o'clock service, and this is the only service you come to. Ooh, we're quiet. I wasn't having a go at you, let me finish. But in Planet Shakers, it's been like a recreation day for me today. I got up this morning at 5 a.m., got on a plane, flew over here, spoke at one service, had 5 hours in the afternoon after having lunch with Pastor Brad and Allison, and still was thinking, wow, what do I do now? Because in our church, we have Saturday night service at 5:30. Then I get up and usually at about 7 a.m. on Sunday, get to church by 8. We have from 9:30 till 11, 11:30 till 1, from 3:30 till 4. That's a short service, till 5. And then from 6 till 7:30, that usually blows out to 8. I'm sometimes like, why does the last service have to blow out? I've gone to 5. I want to go home. But anyway, that's a whole other issue. But at the 5:30 on Saturday, Planet Shakers has got like the spirit of the kangaroo. I don't know if you've ever sung our songs, but every song you have to jump, you have to dance, you have to do something. What is wrong with our praise team is what I want to know. But anyway, we jump every service and, you know, I'm going to be, believe it or not, 50 next year. I know I don't look like it. I look like I'm about 33, but at 50 next year. And I know about it on Monday morning in the knee department. And so at the 5:30, I'm like, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. The 9:30, oh, there's a little bit of arthritis set in there and I just got to get it going again. 11, I'm starting to go again. 3:30, I'm starting to come to the 6. The 6 o'clock is like all our university students. Not intentionally, but if you've been, it's just literally jammed out our biggest service, but it's jammed. They all come in the mosh pit. It's packed. I'm on the front row here, and I'm getting elbows and all sorts of stuff. It's like a health hazard sitting in the front three rows. But some of these guys, you can feel their vibes. They're jumping like crazy in the praise pit. They turn around, and they're like, and you're a pastor, and you're not even jumping. And I'm like, you little upstart, you've been in bed till 5 o'clock and you come to one service on a Sunday. But of course, we're Christians, so we just smile and praise the Lord. But it's not what I feel like I don't want to praise. I'm not really a praise guy. I'm getting too old for this. Praise is about opening up the atmosphere. I understand that it's a spiritual weapon in my hand. So when I don't feel like it, I will. I will. Because it's rising above what I feel. It's rising above what I see. It's understanding that if I lift His name up, He comes into every circumstance and situation of my life. This year in December, I went to the Gold Coast. The team can come up. I went to the Gold Coast and I booked an apartment. And it was like I was escaping for 1 week with my whole family. Booked an apartment. There was a big enough apartment so we had space. It was near the beach, had views. I was so looking forward to it. But I got on the plane from Melbourne and flew to Coolangatta Airport and I got a hire car. And when I got in the hire car, it took me nearly 15 minutes just to get out of the airport. Because I think the whole of Australia had decided to go to the Gold Coast on that week. And there's traffic. It usually takes about 25 minutes from the airport to get where I was going. I was in the car now for nearly an hour and it wasn't getting any closer. The buildings were high, the traffic was mad, there was noise everywhere, and I'm supposed to be relaxing and I'm getting stressed. I get to the building. Might have said a few things to my family, might not have. But you know, I get into the foyer and I'm like, oh. Go up to the wall, and we've got this strange custom. I pressed a little button on the wall, and then part of the wall opens up, and I walk into this elevator. And it's amazing how I got in feeling something, hemmed in, buildings all around, traffic, noise. And I arrive at my floor, my apartment, level 52. Open the door, it's silent. I go out onto my balcony and look out and look down. Woo, it's a long way down there. But I suddenly realize I haven't changed position, but I have changed perspective. What was above me is now beneath me. What was traffic that I was contributing to, now I've extracted myself from. I want to tell you, coming into church is not just us coming and ticking the box of church. It's us walking into this house and in a moment, press the button. Doors close behind us and suddenly we've got the perspective of heaven in our lives. Suddenly we're in a place where it's what He sees rather than what we see. The vision that He has rather than our sight. It's the plan rather than the problem. And we move away from the distraction to make sure that we don't become disqualified from His purpose for our lives. I will magnify the Lord. Magnify is to boost, to enhance, to maximize, to increase, to extend, to expand, to amplify, to widen. I will magnify the Lord. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It's His, it belongs to His. It's His problem. He's got it under control. The world and all its people belong to Him. For the Lord laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive. You are the they. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have the right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek You and worship in Your presence, O God of Jacob. Open up the ancient gates. Open up the ancient doors and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? He's the Lord. He's strong. He is mighty. He, the Lord, is invincible in battle. Open up the ancient gates. Open up the ancient doors and let the King of Glory enter. Who is the King of Glory? He's the Lord of the heaven's army. He is the King of Glory. Huh. I will magnify the Lord. I will lift his name. You're not designed to be in control. He's in control. So our purpose is to bring glory to his name, to bring glory to his circumstance, to lift him up as the King who is in control. See, to glorify or to magnify, universally the same, the terms, speaks of giving weight or honor to. The captain of the army walked in here today and some of his soldiers were here. They would see him, whatever the circumstances, and stand out of their feet and pay attention to him. What are they doing? They're giving honor to his authority. They're actually adding weight to his authority. But the interesting thing is, we can't make God greater. So why are we magnifying him? Why are we lifting him up? The reason is because when we lift up his name, it adds weight. But in turn, he doesn't keep that for himself. He turns that weight towards our circumstances. You need healing? I will magnify the Lord. You need blessing in your life? I will magnify the Lord. Church, we need to understand it's not as complicated as we think. We're not supposed to be in control. We're not supposed to have it all. We're supposed to give it over to him. So here's what I want you to do. I want you all to stand to your feet. And I want you to understand in this atmosphere, we can hear a theory tonight, or from tonight through the rest of the week, through the rest of our life, we can learn. When the pressure comes on, I will. I don't feel like it. When the bill comes in, I will. I don't feel like it. But it's not about what we feel like. It's getting hold of our will and saying, I will. I will. I want to tell you, it's amazing how we do it just for a moment. And our perspective change. Press the button. Go to the 52nd floor. We're no longer contributing to the traffic. Something's changed. So right around the room, I want you to lift your hands. You say, I'm here, God. Speak into my circumstance. Speak into my life. I will.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. For more info about Horizon Church, please visit our website at horizonchurchsydney.com. Have a fantastic day, and we hope to see you again soon.